You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And to others, he'll say, you visited me in prison. You fed me when I was hungry and clothed me when I was naked. And they will say, this is Jesus. He said, they'll say, we don't remember you, Jesus. When did we do this to you? And he'll say, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. Look at King David. King David was a sinner. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But God said he had a heart after God, because when Samuel told him what he'd done wrong, he fell down to the ground prostrate and put sand over his head and repented to the Lord and apologized.
That's the key. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But James 5:16 says that we confess our sins one to another, that we be healed. It's a two-part deal. First, we get saved and we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior and move into our heart and give him permission. And then the work begins. A lot of people think once they get saved, things are supposed to be a rose garden with no thorns. But what they find out is the battle gets tough. Why? Because now the battle has begun between the soul and the spirit. Now there's a real battle going on, and that's the Lord trying to get to those things in your heart, the things in your soul, the things that have affected your mind, your will, and your emotions that caused you to believe contrary to who God says you are. And we have to learn and walk in the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, walk in the power and the authority and the boldness that God has given us to walk in. You know, I got a saying, you know, that I'm not going to back up, shut up, or give up until I reach the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been doing this for 30 years, but I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. And I want to be able to walk in the power where I can walk into the hospital. And I can speak to those that are sick to arise and walk in wellness. I want to be able to walk into a mortuary and say, get up out of that bed, it's time to go to work. And the dead arise. Now, the Bible says that we have that power because Jesus said, greater things than these you'll also do. If he raised the dead, he gave us the power to do the same. And you see it happening in third world countries. I know testimony after testimony, missionaries that watched it happen.
I met a man right here. Father Diorio was a Catholic priest given the gift of healing in his mid-50s. And this man been in a wheelchair with a broken back for over 20 years. When I first came to know the Lord, he came to speak at this little prayer meeting we had on Tuesday nights in upstate New York. And he spoke to us and he said he was at an event with Father Diorio and said, arise in the name of Jesus and be healed. And anyway, so he was there standing there talking to me on the front porch afterwards. And I said, well, if God is such a good God, why did he allow you to be in that wheelchair for 20 years? And he said, son, if God hadn't allowed me to be in the wheelchair and heal me, you wouldn't be here talking to me. And he said, by the way, they take pictures of my back, and technically my back is still broken, but I walk like a regular man. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? I agree, yes, with sir. You know, like Peter, Simon Peter, and I think it was John, they would walk by. Remember, they said, well, we don't have any money, gold and silver. We have none, but what we have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Yes. And then they said that Peter would walk by people and his shadow would touch people.
That's right.
And they'd be healed. I don't know how we get them. Then there are those that, of course, they say that this was the apostolic calling and that God doesn't heal through people anymore. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I've met too many people who have been healed to say that that's a lie.
I will tell you a story that we do prayer meetings sometimes in our homes, and sometimes we do it at the church there at Treasure Coast Church of God on Friday nights, where we just get together as a group of people out of our inner healing class and local community, and we pray, and we worship, and we ask anyone if they need prayer for anything. We had a 72-year-old lady that was set up for a hip replacement and surgery on her knee because her leg was shorter than the other. And we sat her down and prayed for her, and me and the people praying for her actually visually saw her leg grow out 2.5 inches. When she came in, she had on special shoes in order to walk straight. When she left without the shoes on because she couldn't walk while she had the shoes on. She went back to the doctor. The doctor said he had no idea what had happened, but she no longer needed surgery. We have doctor's confirmation of that. We sit there and watch the leg grow ourselves. We had a young lady in her early 20s that had diverticulitis and had been bleeding profusely, and she was set up to go to surgery. She had had the intestines had been bleeding for over 6 months. It wouldn't stop. And the only way they could fix that would be to go in and remove that section of intestines. Oh, she came boy. To one of our prayer meetings. We laid hands on and prayed for her. She went back to the doctor the next week, and the bleeding has stopped, and she still hasn't gone into surgery. This is 2 years later. So does God still heal today? Yeah, he does. Now, we're not the healer. He is. But we have to give him the opportunity to heal, and we need to be in agreement that he is a healer. We watch stuff like this happen all the time.
He uses for some reason he's got it set up so we become the hands of the Lord.
Yes, sir. I think that he does all of his work through people. If you notice, everything that he does is done by somebody.
Tell me another story, another miracle of somebody getting delivered from alcoholism or somebody healed from an ailment that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt was a miracle.
Oh, my stars. Yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years, but I think one of the stories that most impacts me is the story of a young man that came into our ministry when I was in Vero Beach. I was working for the Harvest Christian Ranch Regeneration Center before I went to Dunklin. This young man was been living on the streets. He was 22 years old. He'd been on the streets since he was 12, living in dumpsters, living off the streets. This young man, he smelled so bad, you could not hardly sit in the car with him. He had on 2 or 3 layers of clothing in the middle of the summer. That's all that he owned. It took us forever to get him out of those clothes and get him to take a bath and get on clean clothes. He wouldn't hardly talk to you because he was just so introvert. One of the other men in the program told me that they used to sleep in the dumpsters with him, and the boy would cry himself to sleep every night. And that the reason he was on the streets was because his mother had really done a number on him. She had turned lesbian and divorced his father, and her girlfriends would do drugs and take turns taking cigarettes and burning this young man. And that was one of the reasons he wouldn't take his clothes off, because he has burn marks all over his arms and his stomach and his back, where his mother had put cigarettes out on him.
Why would they ever do such a thing?
You tell me why Satan does what he does to children. So this kid had fled home, and of course his mom didn't chase him down, and now he's in our program at 22 years old. This young man gets saved. He finishes the program. We're able to get him into a team challenge program later on for further training, because at that time we just had a 1-year program and nothing else really to offer him. But we had partnered with Team Challenge in a lot of cases, and he ended up going to the Team Challenge training program. And the last I heard from him, Rhett, that he had become an attorney, and he was doing pro bono work for the homeless. Now, if that's not a success story, I don't know what is.
Wow. That's a miracle.
So,
Jesus, it is written that Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows. So not only do we have our battle going on between good and evil within ourselves and outside of ourselves, but also, you know, it all works together for the good. You know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. And I think that, you know, Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows. And I hate to say it, but, you know, we only grow in the valleys. When we're fat and happy, we don't grow. But, you know, when we're in the valleys, and, you know, I've said this myself, and then all of a sudden I'll be in a valley and go, well, you're the one that's been telling everybody you're only growing the valleys. Now you're in the valley. Embrace the lesson.
If you'll look at the people that Christ chose to be his disciples, and if you'll look at what they went through before they were really walking powerfully in their ministry, they suffered greatly.
Mm.
They were challenged in every way. And I don't know many, I don't know any stories in the Bible where anybody became a great leader without going through great trauma.
Yeah.
It's through those experiences that we really learn the grace and the love and the power of Christ. If we could do it on our own, or God could put us in a place where we thought we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need God anymore.
Well, you know, years ago, I heard that Dr. Billy Graham said, you don't get the calling without getting the death blow. Now, I got to interview Dr. Billy Graham, and I regret. I didn't have the time to remember everything, but I didn't bring that up to him. So I don't know if that's just been attributed to him or he really said it. But I was told that he said that if you get the calling, you're going to get the death blow. Because I always wondered where he had. He's the most humblest, loving man I ever met. Okay, and he just exuded the love of Christ. But I always wondered. I said that man had more humility at 22 than I have at 70. I'm in my 70th year. I'm 69, but I'm in my 70th year. And I wondered where he got it. The only thing by conjecture, I wish I'd asked him. Well, I did actually broach the subject of humility. And when I did, he leaned in. He said, well, Rhett, if we're talking about humility, we haven't got it.
Rhett, I'm losing your volume.
Finger over the mouthpiece.
There we go.
The electricity went out in my iPad here. I'm doing this Zoom. We're out of time for today anyway.
Yep.
But Pastor Terrell Rowland, if people want to get in touch with you, it's HUGGMinistries.com, right?
Yes, HUGGMinistries.com.
But it's two G's, folks, and it stands for?
Healed Under God's Graces.
I'm sorry, that hour went by quickly, didn't it?
Yes, sir, it did. Let's do it again sometime.
Please. And I love you in the Lord. I really want to spend some time with you this fall when I get back to Florida, all right?
Well, when you get back, I got a hug waiting on you.
Well, I would appreciate that very much. God bless you, Pastor Terrell.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah, the Lord be with you and make his face this day to shine upon you. All right?
Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Bless you.
Terrell. Bye-bye.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Is Alzheimer's or dementia affecting your loved ones? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a dedicated team of experts that actually treat these terrible diseases. They have over 50 tools to address root causes of cognitive decline. In the study of the protocol they use, 75% of patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America is now open in Port St. Lucie, online at